What we're dealing with here is a total lack of respect for the law.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies.
In the councils of government, we must guard against the acquisition of unwarranted influence, whether sought or unsought, by the military-industrial complex. The potential for the disastrous rise of misplaced power exists and will persist.
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio.
Hey, wait! I'm having one of those things. You know, a headache with pictures.
An idea?
The forces of evil are aligned, setting the stage for world domination.
We've been aggressive. We've been tough. And we've suffered no small amount of criticism for being tough and our tough tactics. We accept this criticism for what it is. The price we are privileged to pay for our liberty.
What the crack is a barrel exposes? There's a black in the heart of the world. Deep for the truth, the app for the truth. Deep for the truth, deep for the truth.
We really are in the Fourth Reich here, and we have to recognize it.
The meaning of pain, the way that I want you to die. Slow death, immense decay, showers that cleanse you of your life. Forced in, like how you are, stepped out, your life work. Human mice, for the engine of doubt, 400,000 more to die.
Somebody floats a rumor and then it causes you to ask a question. That is a game, and you just fell for the trap.
This is precisely the prescription for what oppressed system should do, according to Goebbels in the Third Reich. His Nazi motto, his goal for the Nazi media was quite clear. He said, I want that the more people consume our media, the less they will understand about an issue, and the more likely they will be to completely support the Nazi policy on the issue. And that was his stated goal.
So we have never been witness to anything quite like this in the United States within the continental borders of this country.
Organized people shift the power. Declare your independence from corporate and two-party domination. We need your help in this historic struggle to shift the power from corporate rule. In our country, the people must rule.
Choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
The America I know has sent troops into Iraq to promote freedom. Good, honorable citizens that are helping Iraqis every day.
He has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction. He is unable to project conventional power against his neighbors.
We are able to keep arms from him. His military forces have not been rebuilt.
He has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction.
His military forces have not been rebuilt.
He has not developed any significant capability with respect to weapons of mass destruction.
Our foes are gathered. Now we see where they want to die. It is time for their dying. Harden your hearts and let your rage strengthen your sinews.
Weapons of destruction! Weapons of mass destruction!
nation is being tested.
Every day they beat the drums of terrorism, war, Code Orange, and canceled flights. Fear has become an expensive political tactic.
Scream your battle cries, call to the gods, ask for their strength, and put true fear in the souls of your enemies.
Weapons of mass destruction, weapons programs,
the deadliest of weapons,
terrible weapons, nuclear weapons,
nuclear weapons,
poison gas, torture chambers, mass graves,
deadly technologies,
radical ideology of hate,
terror of threats,
terror, war on terrorism, war against terrorism,
global war on terror,
terrorism. This is a battle about substantive constitutional rights and protections under the constitutions of free citizens.
Resistance, Shadow Resistance Radio, that is. Welcome, this is Jake. It is Sunday, March 21st, 2010. And today, I'm going to kind of get back to my roots a little bit here, I think. Some of the things that tended to kind of create my perspective of the world into the weird and made me see things in a different way was the ideas of alternative history, the idea that
Orthodox archaeology and science tends to overlook anything that is anomalous. And there are lots of anomalies out there that do not fit in with the Orthodox view of our history. So today I want to talk about Charles Fort, his book, The Book of the Damned. I want to talk about Upart. And Upart is an out-of-place artifact. It's a term coined by American zoologist and cryptozoologist Ivan T. Sanderson. He used this word for anything that was of an archaeological nature, but ended up in a completely impossible context. When you... You know, there's so many things I could be talking about today. I mean, Google and censorship, the FEMA detention sites, all these kinds of things that are going on in our world. But like I said, I prefer to, like I said, kind of get back to my roots and talk about these things that are just plain fun to think about. Now, one of the things that one of the more liberal estimations of how long people have been on the planet is around 100 million years, I guess. And so I always ask the question, how is it that if that's the case, if we have been on this planet for that long, how is it that four to 6 million years. Yeah, that's more like it. People think that people have only been here 4 to 6 million years. That's what our scientific knowledge today states and so on. But there are archaeological finds that actually footprints, fossilized bones, and so on, in strata over 100 million years old. So even if we have only been here for, as they say, 4 to 6 million years, why is it all of our technological progress has only happened in the last 50 to 60 years? How can we be so arrogant as to say that this is the most evolved that we have ever been, when people have been anatomically the same for millions of years, with the same brain capacity and so on? Why is it just now? Why do scientists really refute the idea that there was a high civilization in years past? And what would it look like? We certainly see the remnants of these civilizations all over the planet, and these colossal monuments and buildings. I'm thinking of Machu Picchu, Sacsayhuaman near Cusco in Peru. I'm thinking of, obviously, the pyramids of Giza. I'm thinking of all of these extremely old archaeological sites and the way scientists try to convince us that these stones were moved by slaves. So that's what I'm talking about today. There is an interview with a gentleman named Klaus Dohna of Austria, and he was actually an art exhibition curator for the Habsburg House, and he organizes exhibitions of art all around the world. And so he has a little bit of a weird approach. He became interested in archaeology, and he uses his money that he makes with his exhibits to travel the world in search of unique and unexplained findings, much like what Charles Fort had recorded in his research. This guy actually goes and actually finds these hard to find and hard to place curiosities. And so, they have called them Uparts. One of the things that he was, and whenever these things are found, Orthodox scientists who usually have nothing to do with the actual find, or, you know, we're not there, or they always say, oh, it's a hoax every single time. I don't see how you can hoax, in Oklahoma, USA, an iron cup was discovered in an ancient lump of charcoal rock. How does that happen? Some bone segments were found in Colombia, and they come from a rock plate which is more than 100 million years old, and they look like human fingers, fossilized fingers. Another thing that this gentleman, Klaus Dona, researches is the topic of giants. Yeah, you heard me right. Giants in the ancient past. One of the things that he talks about is the idea that there are myths of all peoples tell of giants with superhuman strength all over the world. And obviously most scientists doubt that there were real foundations for this. But a find from Ecuador might point to the existence of an unknown early race of giants. A collection of giant bones was found in the estate of the late Father Carlos Vaca. Anatomists identified one of them as the back of a human skull. They believe that another bone may be part of a human heel. Judging by its size, it would have belonged to a giant human or primate. In its lifetime, it would have been an unbelievable 7.5 meters tall. Mystery Park succeeded in completing the hypothetical reconstruction of this giant. And so, what he asks, old Klaus here, he asks the question, did more creatures than the dinosaurs die out 65 million years ago? Did the giants fall victim to the huge climatic catastrophe as well? That's a good question. Because people always say, well, if there really was such a thing, wouldn't you be finding remnants of them? Well, apparently they have. So that's pretty interesting. Like I say, I try to keep an open mind about this stuff. The other thing, he does an interview with Project Camelot. I just finished watching it yesterday. Pretty interesting stuff. Very interesting guy. Seems very grounded. I was very skeptical, of course, until I was able to find his website, and I'll have the links up here at shadowresistance.com. And actually looked at his collection. He actually travels now with a collection of artifacts that are actually Uparts that all have, you know, a story associated with them, you know, that does not fit in with the Orthodox worldview. So this is really, really interesting stuff. Another example, a fossilized print of a shoe sole was found in Utah in 1968, and a crushed trilobite is lying on the print. And so those ancient crustaceans died about 230 million years ago. So is it possible that the shoe print is actually older than that? And so obviously, I mean, these kinds of questions, the idea of every once in a while you'll hear a story of an archaeologist who has found a footprint millions of years old and that's fossilized or whatever. And so it's really pretty interesting that, and I think it's pretty obvious that we really, really don't know everything that we seem to think we do when it comes to our history. I think there is a different history than what we are taught and told about in schools. Some of the Uparts, and when you do a search on the internet, you're going to find that a lot of the Uparts are really, there's going to be some websites that are put out there that are basically run by creationists and churchies. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but they use this as evidence that to refute evolution and and also support the idea of the global flood. So some of the more famous Uparts were, let's see, one of them was called the Begong Pipes, a series of pipe-like features found on and near Mount Begong, about 40 kilometers southwest of the city of Delinga in the Hexi Mongol and Tibetan Autonomous Prefecture in China. They don't really know. They could be natural, but most people call it an out-of-place artifact. The Begong Pipes are reported to be associated with a pyramid about 50 to 60 meters high built on the Mount Begong. The front of the, quote, pyramid reportedly contains three caves. The mouths of the two smaller caves have collapsed. Only the largest, which is 6 meters high, can be entered. And inside of there, there are... they look like rusty scraps of pipes. So, it's pretty interesting. We don't really know their origin. Then, of course, there's the main penny. Some people have probably already heard about it. It's also called the Goddard coin. This was a Norwegian silver penny dating to the reign of Olaf Kyr. That's 1067 to 1093 AD. Basically, the Maine State Museum describes it as the only pre-Columbian Norse artifact generally regarded as genuine found within the United States. Basically, a local resident had found it at the Goddard site, the extensive archaeological remains of an old Native American settlement on Penobscot Bay in Maine. So, basically, you have a 12th century coin finding its way to Maine and being discovered in a Native American site. Whenever something like this is found, one of the critics instantly said, oh, it's a hoax. And that it, you know, they can't be it can't be proven that it is genuine. So whenever that happens and you see, oh, it's a hoax, blah, 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 people say make those statements without really considering that there are possibilities of a much more interesting world out there. So, it is 12:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Shadow Resistance Radio. I'm Jake. The listening line is open. If anybody wants to jump on Skype, hop on, say hi. Always feel free to do that. You can send me notes. Most people have been sending me messages via the Facebook page. Add me as a friend using contact at Shadow Resistance as a the email address search. Or you can just do a search for Shadow Resistance Bozer, and I'm on there. So that's the official Shadow Resistance page on Facebook. And I'm going to take a little break. Going to have to get a cup of coffee or something. Wake me up. Shadow Resistance Radio. Keep listening.
You are listening to Shadow Resistance Radio. Broadcasting live on Sunday, noon to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Join the resistance.
We'll be right back.
Time is now. Stand your ground. Yeah, that's Down Count. Love those guys. It's 12:40 Eastern Standard Time. The time is now 12:40 I'm Jake. You're listening to Shadow Resistance Radio, and yeah, we're back. I wanted to take a little break, pour myself some coffee. Oh, I love that stuff. It makes my sticker peck out. And today I'm talking about the weird. I'm talking about anomalous history, weird stuff that our modern historians, archaeologists, tend to ignore. One historian, however, by the name of Charles Hapgood, wrote a book called Maps of the Ancient Sea Kings. And the really cool thing about this book is that he actually points out that the Americas were mapped thousands of years before Columbus. Antarctica was mapped when its coasts were free of ice. So this in and of itself is evidence that these people must have lived when the Ice Age had not yet ended in the Northern Hemisphere, when Alaska was still connected with Siberia. So, I mean, that's just yet more very strong evidence for the idea of a very intelligent ancient group of people who predated us and predated our own very nebulous version of history. So I point to Hapgood as being one of those one of the good guys. Here's a scientist who is actually a professor of history at Keene University in New Hampshire, and pointed out that the way that we view history is not exactly accurate by pointing out that these maps actually existed, predating Columbus by thousands of years. So this is just, you know, good stuff. Also on that note, again, Klaus Dohna, one of the things that in his collection, some of the things that he found were all kinds of stone artifacts. Now, it's not just in and of itself that stone artifacts are amazing, but when these stone artifacts actually depict a large human being riding a dinosaur, yeah, stuff like that. Actually, and you can see it. There's no mistaking it. You'll go to his website. I'm going to have that link up on Shadow Resistance forums. And you can't make this stuff up, everybody. It's, well, I guess you could, but these are, you know, artifacts that are, these sculptures that are found, you know, in layers of dirt that are, you know, thousands of years old. Well, no, it'd have to be billions. So it's just, you know, again, another little piece of the puzzle. I like raising these questions and asking these questions simply because I think it's really important. If you are ever trying to wake people up, we talked about this on the show, I think last month, the idea of how do you go about waking people up in terms of what's really going on around them in the world, whether it be in the world of politics and the false left-right paradigm, or if it's you know, the idea that, you know, maybe history did not happen the way that they seem to think. I find that one of my favorite things to do is just to raise questions in someone's mind. If, you know, they are so enamored with the idea that Christopher Columbus was the first European to set foot in America, you know, raise those questions. Say, well, you really think so? Or did you know about this? Did you know about the idea of the Vikings being in Greenland, you know, for hundreds of years before Columbus? Did you know that most of the Templar fleet of ships disappeared when they were outlawed, and no one seems to know where they went? There are some traditions that claim that they came to America. and hit out in the New World. So it's always interesting, you know, when you raise these questions and make people stop to think, well, wait a minute, you know, why is it that, you know, we have been on this planet for millions of years, but we're only, you know, learning to fly here in the last 50? It doesn't make any sense, especially when you start seeing these artifacts in the shapes of jet planes, in the shapes of rockets. These are not ceremonial birds. You can actually see a man, a sculpture, a stone sculpture of a man wearing what looks like an astronaut's helmet. So, again, you know, I'm not going to get into the whole giant thing, you know, because we've all seen those photoshopped pictures around the web, around the interweb machine, being sent to us on email and so on. They're obvious hoaxes. This guy, Klaus Dona, says the same thing. Every single one that he's seen, he says it's obvious hoax, because no one has actually really taken pictures of the actual whole skeleton. There are some of them that are still under the ground, and he knows for a fact where they are. And so you're going to be... It's a good possibility that some of this information will be actually coming out and coming to light. And yes, there are a lot of hoaxers out there that they always say, oh, I have no understanding or reason why somebody would, you know, perpetuate such a hoax, because it's fun. It's fun to fool as many people as you possibly can. So that's why they do it. But at any rate, you know, there's another artifact relic that Mr. Dona recalls and discusses is a large round sphere stone in Ecuador that actually has a world map all around it, and this thing is millions of years old. He goes into detail and describes it in detail in the interview with Project Camelot. I have the MP3 downloaded, and I will be streaming that on the Shadow Resistance stream after this show. You'll be able to listen to it if you'd like, if you're still tuning in. And this map apparently shows the world during the Ice Age, when there were a couple of extra continents. And, of course, you know, the interviewers immediately leaped on that and said, oh, it must have been Atlantis and Mu. And he said it could very well be. It certainly is in the right locations for both. So, but he doesn't... The reason I really like this guy is he doesn't jump to conclusions. He doesn't try to verify something he can't verify. He just says, oh, could be, but, you know, it's pretty obvious that the coastline for India was actually much larger, extended even further. There's been a lot of work done there with Graham Hancock in his book Underworld. If you haven't read that, definitely check it out. The idea, of course, is that during the Ice Age, there very well could have been a high level of civilization. What happens when all of a sudden all that ice melts from a warming event? You get a flood, massive flooding all over the world. Where are most of the cities located in modern times? On the coast. What do they say is going to happen if, you know, all of the ice melts? Oh, you know, these cities could be underwater. Well, who's to say that didn't already happen? Everyone says, well, you know, if there was this high level of civilization in prehistory during the Ice Age, where is it? We are only just beginning to delve into underwater archaeology. Just beginning. And what they have been finding, the people who actually do underwater archaeology, what they have been finding is exactly where you would imagine these cities to have been, at about 25 meters below the surface. That's how much water, or 25 feet, that's how much water has risen since the Ice Age. Precisely at the level where you would expect to find them, you're finding these massive structures underwater. All the ones that are made of stone. the ones that we build, made of steel and concrete, probably would not last. So, if there were other structures that were not made purely out of just massive blocks of stone, but were made out of steel and concrete, they would have been not only just washed away, but they would have rotted and simply fallen to pieces. Iron rusts, concrete eventually just, especially when inundated by constant water, would just deteriorate. So, how do we know? The only thing that prevents us from really asking those questions is our own arrogance. So, those are the kinds of things, like I said, this guy, Klaus Dohna, he talks about fossils which do not fit into any pattern. For example, in Pennsylvania, a collection of human bones was found over 20 years ago. The skull plates and skulls were in a 280 million year old layer of charcoal rock. So, things like that on this site, you really got to check it out. The whole idea of mythology in stone is one section. He goes on, basically, there's even a section on UFOs today and yesterday. Charles Fort, back in the 1800s, was asking that question. One of the things that skeptics always say about the UFO phenomenon is, well, where's the evidence? How come nobody really saw UFOs before 1947, and this whole Roswell BS? The fact of the matter is they have always seen them. They have always reported it. Charles Fort collected hundreds of sightings and observations from all kinds of different sources, legitimate sources. So it's not something that just recently happened and is a mass hallucination. So when there is... Well, anyway, sorry, lost my train of thought. I was reading something here on Facebook. By the way, some really great links up there. People have been posting the whole idea. So people have been posting some really great stuff there. Sorry for, I know it makes fascinating radio, this long, pregnant silence. At any rate, it is 12:53 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shadow Resistance Radio, hopefully giving you a little bit of food for thought there. Question, the modern poet, Taylor Malley, my favorite contemporary poet, in one of his poems states that it's not enough to, just like the bumper sticker says, question authority. He's talking about people speaking with conviction. However, what I'm talking about is you can't just question authority, you have to question the authorities on history. You have to question your knowledge of what you think is history. You have to question what you think you know. You have to question what other people think they know. And I guess that's the theme of the show. I am going to cut this one short today. Almost a full hour, not quite. Going to ride out on Megadeth, United Abominations. Just love that song. Shadow Resistance Radio, thanks for tuning in, you live listeners. And after this, after I take down this stream and start uploading it for the podcast and so on, I will be playing that interview with Mr. Dohna. So stay tuned for that if you're listening live. Thanks for joining. Later.
Resistance Radio.